Amen. All right, well, we're there in Proverbs chapter 22, and we are in between series tonight on Sunday night. We finished our series already that we were going through, the Drop Dead series, and in October, we'll start a new series on the life of the Apostle Peter. I hope you'll get excited about that. I think there's a lot that we can learn from the Apostle Peter, but whenever I'm in between series, especially on Sunday night, I try to, you may have noticed, maybe you haven't, but I try to always have a sermon in there somewhere throughout the years, kind of sprinkle them throughout the year in regards to family or family issues. And the reason for that is, though, I think that preaching through series and scheduling out your sermons is a good way to kind of make sure you have a balanced life. I think when we talk about the family, when we talk about parenting, those are so important that I don't want to wait till the next series to cover those things. So I try to cover them and sprinkle them throughout the year. And tonight I'm preaching a parenting sermon. I'm preaching on the subject of improper balances in parenting, improper balances in parenting. And I want to tell you who this sermon is for or who can benefit from the sermon. Of course, all of you who are parenting, obviously the sermon is for you. If you've got little ones in your home, you've got kids in your home, this sermon is for you. But of course, also you young people who are not yet parents but hope to one day marry and have children, this sermon's for you. Because even better than learning while you're parenting is to learn ahead of time what to do and how to do it properly. But I want to say this. This is also for those of you who have maybe have children outside the home. And I say this a lot when I preach these sermons. But obviously, as you have adult children, your role changes. It transitions. And even as you become a grandparent, it transitions. But as our church has grown, we've had more and more people who are in this stage of life where they are now dealing not only with their kids, but with their adult kids. And my wife and I have received a lot of questions and just kind of counsel as to how to deal with these relationships. And I wanted to add something in here for you as well. Those of you that are parenting adults, meaning your kids are grown, they're outside, out of the house, and you are the parent of an adult kid. There are something in the sermon tonight for everybody. So I'd like you to maybe write this down, especially if you're a mom and dad, especially if you have kids with you. Maybe you can take these notes down. But I want to talk about having the proper balance when it comes to parenting, because whether you realize it or not, parenting is a balancing act. There are a lot of things that have to be balanced in regards to being a good parent, a good father, and a good mother. Here in Proverbs 22, we of course have a great verse in regards to parenting. If you notice there in verse 6, the Bible says this, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now, we're going to come back to that verse later on in the sermon tonight, but I just want you to notice that that's what we are doing. As parents, we are training up our children. We are training children for adulthood. We are training them to be able to be good adults. And we jeopardize that training when we go to extremes in our parenting. So I want to help you with that. And I want to give you some improper balances. In fact, I want to give you four improper balances for parenting tonight. And maybe you can write these out. Number one, here's an improper balance. Treating your children as if they are always right, innocent, or without need of correction. You will fail as a parent if you are the mom or you are the dad who is constantly treating your kids as if they are innocent, they've done nothing wrong in every situation, in every confrontation, in every issue, in every problem, whether they are having an issue with another kid or whether they're having an issue with an adult. The adult is always wrong and your kids are always right. The other kid's always wrong and your kids are always right. I'm here to tell you, you will ruin your kids if you have this improper balance in your life where you treat your children as if they are always right, they are always innocent, and they are always without need of correction. Here's the thing. There is no such thing as a perfect kid, except for one. His name was Jesus, all right? Every other kid is a sinner. You're there in Proverbs 22. Look at verse number 15. Notice what the Bible says. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And listen, mom and dad, And I'm trying to help you tonight. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but you got to ask yourself this question, and I want you to ask yourself this question. Please don't answer this out loud, but I want you to answer this in your own mind, and especially if you've got children in your home, if you've got kids that are actually living with you right now, and we're not just talking about, you know, a little newborn baby. We're talking about children that are to the age where they need to be corrected, and I want to ask you this. When is the last time that you disciplined your children? When is the last time that you corrected your children? When is the last time that you found your child in a situation where they were wrong, where they were guilty, where they were in need of correction? Because here's the thing, if you haven't done it in a long time, you must not be paying attention, because foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Every child is foolish, the Bible says. Every child is getting into problems, is having trouble. This is the age of life in which we are training them, and we are correcting them, and we are helping them. And look, Mom, and look, Dad, you need to be catching your kids. You need to be catching and correcting your kids for doing wrong. That's why the Bible says there, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now, some of you are thinking to yourself this, I know it, let me just go ahead and answer it. You're thinking, yes, Pastor, I haven't spanked my kids in a long time, but you just don't know, my kids are good kids, okay? You are who I'm talking about. Your kids are not good kids. They are sinners, all right? Your kids are not good kids. Look, either your kids are perfect and Proverbs is wrong, or Proverbs is right and you're not paying attention, but foolishness is bound. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Go to Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19. And look, some kids, different kids, you know, my wife and I, we have six children. And different kids have different temperaments. Different kids, we have one kid, I'm not going to say her name out loud because she's getting older now and she's starting to pay attention when knows when we're talking about her. But it doesn't take much, it really doesn't take a lot for us to find, you know, problems. We've got other kids, they're a little more mellow, and we really kind of have to pay attention. As my boys have gotten older, I've realized that as they get older, you know, they're getting less and less spankings. But I don't want to raise a kid that never gets a spanking. I don't want to raise a kid that's never being corrected. So now I've learned with them is I kind of have to take the opportunity when it comes. You know, I've got to, when they do something wrong, I've got to kind of jump on that and make sure that they're getting corrected and make sure that they're having that in their lives. You say, why? Because look, part of raising your children is chastening them, is disciplining them, is correcting them. And listen, Mom, you are actually ripping your kids off if you let them go an entire childhood with not being disciplined. Proverbs 19, look at verse 18. Proverbs 19, 18, the Bible says this, chasten thy son, don't miss this, chasten thy son while there is hope. And the implication is this, that there is coming a day when your kids will get to a stage in life where there is no hope. You're done. You've raised them. You've brought them to the place where they are going to be in life. That's just who they are. That's just what they'll be. And you don't have an opportunity to make that right. And you say, well, when do I have my opportunity? You have your opportunity now. When they're 2 years old, and when they're 3 years old, and when they're 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and whatever, you know, 17 and 18, that's you. You have an opportunity to chasten them and correct them and discipline them and try to help them become the mature adults that God wants them to be now. So look, you need to chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Why? Because there is a problem with parenting that acts as if their kids are always right, always innocent, they've never done it, it's always the other guy, it's always the other kid, it's always the other parent. You need to realize that your kids and everyone else's kids are bad. And you need to be catching and correcting your kids for doing wrong. You need to be catching and correcting. Look, please understand this. I don't think you say, you actually want me to be looking for opportunities when my kids are doing wrong to correct them. You need to catch your kids in lies. You need to catch your kids stealing. You need to catch your kids deceiving. You need to catch your kids doing wrong, and you need to call them out on it, and you need to correct them. You need to discipline them lovingly. You say, why? Because that will raise a mature adult that realizes that there are consequences for our actions, and we can't just do what we want. Now, here's the thing. You can go ahead and say, well, my kids are perfect, and my kids are never wrong, and it's always the other kid, and it's always the other family, and it's always the other adult. But listen to me, there's coming a day when there will be no hope, and if you refuse to correct them now, the cops won't have any problem doing it when they're older. And the prison system won't have any problem doing it when they're older. And the other people, you know, the other adults that didn't get the spankings they needed, that are now on drugs, that are now in gangs, that are now living a life that of riotous living, they won't have any problem making sure that they realize that, you know, and giving them the beating that's coming their way. So listen, Mom, it's your job. Listen, Dad, it's your job to chasten thy son while there is hope. You need to be catching and correcting your kids doing wrong. You need to be paying attention and correcting your kids. And this is what it comes down to. And look, it's hard sometimes to just give these, you know, to give ages, because I realize that kids are different and children are different. But please understand this. Go to Proverbs 29. If you have a kid, please understand this. If you have a kid between the ages of 2 and like 5 years old, they probably need to be getting spanked every day. Every other day. I'm just telling you, if you're going weeks without spanking your 2-year-old, you're not doing it right. You need to cancel your Facebook account. You need to, you know, throw the television out the window. You need to turn the radio off. You need to do something. You're not paying attention. At that age in their lives, they need constant correction, constant chastening, constant discipline. Proverbs 29, verse 15, the Bible says this: the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself, don't miss this, bringeth his mother to shame. Your kids need to be corrected. Your kids need to be disciplined. Your kids are being foolish, and you need to lovingly catch them and correct them. And you have a wrong balance in parenting if you are always of the mindset that your kids are right, that your kids are innocent, that there's nothing wrong with them, and that they are always, that they are never in need of correction. You need to be disciplining your children. Go to Proverbs 29. You're there in Proverbs 29. Look at verse 17. And I want you to notice this verse. I think this is a really interesting verse. Some of you maybe need to memorize this as parents. Proverbs 29, verse 17 says this: correct thy son, notice these words, and he shall give thee rest. Do you know that it's actually, because this is the mindset that parents have, and can we just be honest? It's a Sunday night, right? Let's be honest. Why don't you spank your kids? You know why? Here's the truth. If you're being honest with yourself, you would know that this is true. Because it's work. Dad, why is it that you haven't spanked your kids? Your 3-year-old, your 4-year-old, your 5-year-old, it's been weeks you haven't spanked them. Why? Because it's easier to yell. Right? I mean, because it's easier to just kind of yell at them from across the room while still doing whatever you're doing than to actually get up, grab your child, say, listen, son, listen, daughter, I love you, but you did wrong, you've sinned, you've gone against the rules, I need to discipline you and take them somewhere privately and put them across your knee and spank them in a proper way. Obviously, we're not talking about child abuse, we're not talking about hitting your children with a fist or with a hand, but spanking them on their bottom and all those things. That's work. That takes time. That takes energy. It's easier to just yell and yell and yell till one day, like 3 weeks from now, you're so bitter and angry, you finally do blow up. And then when you finally do spank them, it's a borderline child abuse, and it's like, good night, that's not what we told you to do. Okay, look, but here's what people don't realize, is that it's actually easier. It's easier for you to make the mental decision that if I tell my kid, don't do that, or I'm going to spank you, and then they just look you in the eye and just do it. It's actually easier for you to get up and spank that rebellion out of them. You will actually have an easier job, Mom. you will actually have an easier job, Dad. You will actually have, when you, Proverbs 29:17, correct thy son, he shall give thee rest. See, if you put work into correcting your children, it'll actually make your life easier to live with well-behaved children. Amen. It won't be difficult. I travel a lot, you know, for the ministry and things. This weekend I'm preaching in San Antonio, and I'm preaching in North Carolina next month, and I'm going all sorts of different places. And often when I travel, I take one or two of my kids with me, and sometimes my wife and I, we've taken all of our kids, you know, and we've taken them to the Philippines, and we've taken them to different places, to Boise or whatever. And a lot of times when we travel with our six kids, people will often say to us, they're like, I can't believe that you are traveling with that big of a family. And usually it's other parents with their little one, you know, with their little one kid, their little 17-year-old throwing a fit or whatever, you know, their little 10-year-old throwing a fit. Like, I can't believe that you can travel with these six kids. And it's like, well, yeah, I couldn't travel with your kid either. I mean, you raised the brat. I'd rather travel with my six than your one. Because when you correct thy son, he shall give thee rest. When you actually correct them, here's what you need to understand. When you actually put the energy and the effort into beating the rebellion out of them, it'll be easier. It'll be better. It'll be more fun. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. And here's what it comes down to. Mom and Dad, you may be blind to your kids' behavior, but no one else is. Go to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. You can fool yourself into thinking, my little princess, my little prince, they're just so good. It's always the other kid. It's always the other parents. It's always the other person. It's always the other issue. It's always the other one. You can sit there and just blind yourself to the truth. But please know this, you may blind yourself to your kids' behaviors, but no one else is blind to your kids' behavior. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11 says, even a child is known by his doings. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure or whether it be right. And listen, parents, your kids are right now building a reputation for themselves, and you are helping them with that. Because even a child is known by their doings. And you need to realize that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, and you need to realize that it is your job, especially when your kids are young, to make sure that you are correcting them, to make sure that you are confronting them when they are doing wrong. And we're not talking about child abuse, and we're not talking about yelling and screaming. We're talking about lovingly correcting them and help them to understand that there are consequences for their actions. Keep your place in Proverbs. We're going to look at another, other passages in Proverbs. But go to Titus chapter 1. In the New Testament, you've got all the T books. They're all clustered together. 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus. Titus chapter 1. And in Titus 1, we find the qualifications for a pastor. That's the context. But I want you to notice what it says here about a pastor. It says, if any be blameless, Titus 1:6, the husband of one wife. And then it says this, having faithful children, notice these words, not accused of riot or unruly. One of the qualifications of being a pastor is that you can't have children that are accused of being riot or being riotous or being unruly. And you say, well, I'm not trying to be a pastor, it doesn't apply to me. That's fine. The idea, though, is this, that there are kids who are accused of being riot and unruly. So here's the question I have for you. Is that your kid? What is the reputation that your children have in this church? What is the reputation that your children have in your social group, with your family, with your the people that you surround yourself with? Because here's the honest truth. You may be blind to your kids' behavior, but no one else is. And let me just let you in on a little secret. There is no conspiracy against your children. It's not that everyone has conspired against my one kid. Look, please understand this. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. If multiple people are coming to you about this, about your kid's the problem. Just in general, just as a rule of life, If multiple people are coming to you about one person, that one person, that's the common denominator, is the problem. There's no conspiracy against you. There's no conspiracy against your kids. It's not like we all got together on a Tuesday night on a service that wasn't announced and everybody was there except for you and we all decided, let's all make up things about this one person kid. No, your kid's the problem. Open your eyes. Realize that even a child is known by their doings. So this is a wrong balance, a bad balance to be on when you are treating your children as if they are always right, innocent, and without need of correction. And I realize if you're on this balance, you don't know that. You probably aren't aware to it. So let me help you become aware to it. Answer this question. When was the last time you disciplined your kids? When's the last time you caught your kids doing wrong? When's the last time you caught your kids in deception or in a lie? When's the last time you looked at your kid and said, I know what you're telling me, but I don't believe you. You're lying, and you're going to get a spanking. When's the last time that happened? Because if it's been weeks, you're probably not paying attention. And you need to be correcting your children. So here's a balance, an improper balance, is treating your children as if they are always right, innocent, or without need of correction. Now, you're there in Titus. I'd like you to go to Colossians. If you just head backwards, keep your place there in Titus because we're going to come back to it. But go backwards to the book of Colossians. You're going to go Titus, 2nd and 1st Timothy, 2nd and 1st Thessalonians, Colossians. All right? Titus, 2nd and 1st Timothy, 2nd and 1st Thessalonians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Let me give you the second improper balance. The first improper balance was treating your children as if they are always right, innocent, or without need of correction. Here's the next extreme and improper balance. On this side is treating your children as if they are always wrong and being constantly negative towards them. See, the truth is this. Your kids are not always right, but you know that your kids are not always wrong. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. Notice what the Bible says. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21, the Bible says this, fathers. And I believe that God says this to fathers because we as fathers are the ones that probably struggle with this. And I'll be honest with you, this is where I struggle. This is probably the balance I'm on. He says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger. He says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger. And the idea is this, that you ought not provoke your children. You ought not live in a way where you're constantly being negative and mean and wrong, or assuming that your kids are always wrong to the point where you're going to provoke your children to anger. And men, sometimes we're the ones that deal with this. I know for me, that's kind of where I live. Confessing your faults one to another, I tend to be more on the negative side. Ask the guys that work here. I'm very detailed oriented. I think the military beat this idea of attention to detail into my mind, which means that, you know, I walk into a room and before I see what's right with it, I see everything that's wrong with it. You know, somebody hands me something to look at and I make a catalog of everything I don't like about it before I, you know, and I have to remember to be positive. And yes, this is great. This is awesome. This is much better than I could have done. But there's all these problems. You know, we men especially tend to be negative, and when we carry that into our marriages or when we carry it into our parenting, it becomes a problem. Because the Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger. You say, well, what's the problem with provoking them to anger? Here's the problem, lest they be discouraged. See, the purpose of correcting our children and disciplining our children is to break their will in regards to doing wrong. We want to get them to the place where the will that they have, that inner flesh desire to want to do wrong, to want to steal, to want to lie, to want to deceive, we want to break that will. Look, we want to break that will before life breaks it. We want to break that will before the judge breaks it, before the police breaks it. We want to break that will to sin. That's our job, to correct our children and say, look, son, the way of the transgressor is hard. You don't want to live this life. You don't want to go down that road. Let me break your will for sin while you're still a kid and set you up for success. But here's where we mess up as parents, where we take a step where now we don't just break their will, we also break their spirit. You don't want to do that. You don't want to be so negative and angry and upset with your children that you not only break their will, but you break their spirit, you provoke them to anger, and you discourage them. Look, you don't want your kids to leave your home and say, that Christian stuff's not for me. Look what it did to my home. Look what it did to my family. Look what it did to my parents. We want to live our lives in a way where kids will grow up and say, you know what? My parents were strict, but they loved me. They disciplined me, but they did it out of love. And by the way, isn't that what God does for us? Go to Proverbs 29. Go to Proverbs 21:9. So there's these two extremes. One is the parent that's like, everything's great. My kids are great. There's nothing wrong with them. That parent, we want to shake him and say, your kid's a sinner. You need to correct them. But then there's this other extreme where we're just being negative and angry, and they're always wrong, and there's never anything right. And look, you don't want to live there either. Proverbs 29, verse 21. Proverbs 29 and verse 21. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says this. He that delicately, you see that word delicate? He that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become his son at the length. That's an interesting verse. The Bible says that, and the idea here is that you would hire a servant to come live in your home. The Bible says that you can have a servant living in your home, and based on how you treat that servant, if you treat them delicately, you can actually win them over and win their heart. Well, they will become like a son. He that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become his son at the length. The idea is this, that how we treat people is very important. And look, here's what you need to understand about your kids. And I wanted to touch this in the next point, but I'll go ahead and touch it now. Go to Proverbs 19. You're there in Proverbs 29. Is that you must realize that there is an end game for your parenting. I say this a lot, but I think it's important for us to be reminded of this. You are not raising a 3-year-old. Do you understand that? You're not raising a 5-year-old. You're not raising a 6-year-old. You're raising a 30-year-old. That's what you're raising your kids. That's the end game. The point is not to get to the end of your parenting career and say, look at my 4-year-old. This is the most amazing 4-year-old you've ever seen. He's 30 years old, but he's the best 4-year-old you've ever seen. See, the goal is to raise an adult. Do you understand what I'm telling you? And here's the problem with raising an adult is that one day your rule and your chastening over them will come to an end, right? Didn't we read that? Chasten your son while there is hope. See, the correcting aspect, the spanking aspect, the discipline aspect of your relationship with your children will one day come to an end. But here's the thing. Your relationship with them will not. And if you want to raise adult children that actually want to have a relationship with you when they're no longer under your authority, you better learn to be delicate. Because he that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become his son at the length. Are you there in Proverbs 19? Look at verse 22. The desire of a man is his kindness. And a poor man is better than a liar. But I want you to notice there, it says the desire of a man is his kindness. What does that mean? Here's what it means. It means that what makes you desirable, what attracts people to you, is your kindness. Isn't that true? I mean, look at all the adults that are not under your authority that like you. The Bible says a man that has friends must show himself friendly. And people like you and they want to be around you because what attracts them to you is your encouragement, is your kindness, is your ability to have good people skills. And we understand that when it comes to adults, but realize this, your kids will one day be adults. And you better make sure that in the process of attempting to break their will, you did not break their spirit at the same time. Provoke not your children to wrath. You don't want to discourage them. So there's these balances. We must balance this out. What's the first one? The first one is that treating your children as if they're always right, innocent, or without need of correction. Listen to me. You're going to raise a monster. But the other balance is this. Treating your children as if they're always wrong. And being constantly negative towards them is an improper balance as well. Let me give you the third one. Go to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, where we started. Look at verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. I already gave you this, but I want you to look at it. Train up a child in the way he should go. And this is where we mess up as parents. I'm training children. No, you're training future adults. Train up a child in the way he should go. What's the goal? And when he is old. Do you see that? When he is old, he will not depart from it. Let me give you the third improper balance. The first improper balance was treating your children as if they're always right, innocent, or without need of correction. The second improper balance was treating your children as if they are always wrong and being constantly negative towards them. The third improper balance is this: always coming to the defense of your children and never allowing them to work out or deal with their own issues. If you are the parent that is constantly coming to the defense of your children, stepping into their problems, stepping into their issues, fighting their battles, you are doing your children a grave disservice. You say, why? Because the point of raising them is to train them for the day when you are not there. You understand what I just said? You're training them for the day that you're not there. Amen. So if you're constantly there to solve their problems, you're training them in an improper way. See, Paul said this, 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And what we want to help our children is become mature men and women that can deal with their issues. I've said this quote before, and I want to say it to you again. Some of you maybe should write this down. Don't bail, let them fail. If you're constantly bailing, look, your kids need to fail from time to time. You understand that? They need to fall on their face from time to time. They need to learn, wow, I messed up. Yeah, well, I could have told you that, son, but I wanted you to get an experience. Because sometimes people learn better from experiencing something. And here's what I'm telling you. If you're the mom and dad who is constantly bailing out your 3-year-old and your 4-year-old and your 5-year-old and your 6-year-old and your 7-year-old, just get used to literally bailing out your kids out of prison. Because that's what you're going to raise. The parent that's, they're not wrong. It goes from, it's the other kids and it's the other parents, to it's the cops and it's everyone else. And my little sweetie, they're so perfect, let me bail them. No, listen, don't bail, let them fail. Amen. Now let me just give this disclaimer because people ask me questions. Obviously, I'm not talking about a life or death situation, okay? You understand that? Your 4-year-old is running into the freeway, okay, grab them. Don't, well, they're going to have to learn this lesson the hard way. Okay, that's ridiculous, all right? But from time to time, you need to allow your kids to just kind of work out their own issues. To work out their own problems. And here's the thing. We are parents that we love our kids, so we want to just protect them. We want to just kind of sweep in and be the heroes for them and take care of them. And that's normal for us to feel that way. But listen, mom and dad, you have to discipline yourself to make sure that you're not always coming to the defense of your children and never allowing them to work out or deal with their own issues. Several years ago, we dealt with an issue with our sons. And they were young. I mean, my kids are young now. My oldest is 12 and my next oldest is 10. This was 3 years ago, so they were even younger. And we were dealing with issues with them in regards to bullying. They weren't the bullies. They were experiencing the bullying right here in this church, you know. And of course, you know, I'm the pastor. I mean, my inclination is to just, well, I'm going to go deal with this right now, you know, and do a whole 6-week series on bullying and the aspects of it or whatever, you know. And that's kind of where we're at as parents. We just want to defend our kids. And we were having issues with not just our kids being bullied, but also, what do you do when your sibling's being bullied but you're not being bullied? Or what do you do when your other friends are being bullied and you know, the situation? And, of course, our initial inclination was just kind of step in and be mom and be dad and deal with it. But, you know, my wife and I, we just decided, let's coach our kids through this. And I remember we spent several Sunday nights and Wednesday nights after church just kind of looking at situations and talking through situations and say, well, here's what you could have done in that situation. Maybe next time that happens, here's what you should do. And if somebody talks to you that way, then here's how you should respond. And we tried to coach them through that. And, you know, it resolved itself. And really, that's what we want. Because, look, one day I'm not going to be there. Their mom's not going to be there at the work site when they're dealing with a difficult coworker. They need to just learn to kind of hash out some of these problems and kind of deal with some of these problems. And our job is to train up children that are going to be good adults. We want to train up a child in the way he should go because he's going to be old one day. So instead of always bailing your kids out, how about coaching them through it? And again, I'm not talking about life or death situation, okay? I'm not talking about some extreme situation where your kids are being injured. I'm not talking about that. But I am talking about the fact that we want to help them, want to coach them, we want to train them along those ways. And please, I'm not saying my kids are perfect, okay? Maybe they're the bullies now, and I have to, you know, open up my... The idea is this. We want to train for adults. And I really want you to think about this as parents and as the grown-ups, is what is your goal for parenting? What is your goal for parenting? Because if your goal is simply feed them and clothe them to the point that they naturally get to the place where they can legally leave, if that's your goal, that's not a good goal. That's not good enough. That's not what we're trying to accomplish. At least, that's not what you should be trying to accomplish. And I realize, if you're sitting at Verity Baptist Church on a Sunday night and you've got your kids sitting next to you, that's probably not your goal. But let me tell you what your goal probably is. Because here's the problem with goal setting. Is that when we don't set a goal, we just kind of naturally go with the goal that is perceived by our culture. And here's probably the goal that if you've not thought about it, if you've not sat down and thought, what am I trying to accomplish? I've only got 18 years with this kid. I've only got 20 years with this kid. I've only got 25 years with this kid. What am I trying to do over the next 20 years in the life of this kid that God has given me? If you've not actually sat down with your wife, with your husband, and said, what are we trying to accomplish? What is our goal? Then this is probably what your goal is. Your goal is probably to have well-behaved kids. Say, well, what's wrong with that? Here's what's wrong with that. And look, I spent the first part of the sermon telling you to spank your kids, so I'm not against having well-behaved kids. I think you should have well-behaved kids. But that ought not be your goal. Here's why. Because if your goal is well-behaved children, you will parent towards behavior modification. You understand what I just said? If your goal is simply that you can show up to Verity Baptist Church and your kids sit there quietly, and they never look around, and they never write, and they never smile, and everybody will be impressed. Look how awesome of a parent I am because my kids are behavior modified. Here's the problem with that. You will only raise children that learn to act certain ways in certain situations to get through that situation. That's not what you want. That's not what I want. But if your goal is to raise an adult that's responsible and that loves the Lord, then you will parent differently. Then you will still correct when their behavior is wrong, but you won't just discipline their behavior. You'll say, son, let me explain to you why you shouldn't lie. Honey, let me explain to you why you need to learn to control your emotions and you can't just throw a fit like that. Let me explain. See, when your goal is to actually raise an adult that's responsible, that loves God, that's walking with God, your parenting will change. But when your goal is simply behavior modification, you'll raise robots and we'll all be impressed. But they won't love the Lord. Your goal, my goal, is to train up a child in the way he should go. Our goal is to train up children in the way they should go. And when he is old, Lord willing, he will not depart from it. Let me give you the fourth improper balance. Go to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. The first improper balance is treating your children as if they are always right, innocent or without need of correction. If that's you, you're wrong. The second improper balance is treating your children as if they are always wrong and being constantly negative towards them. If that's you, you're wrong. The third improper balance is always coming to the defense of your children and never allowing them to work out or deal with their own issues. If that's you, you are losing opportunities to train your children while there is hope, to train them up to become adults. But here's imbalance number four, and this is for all of you who are parenting adult children. An improper balance when you're parenting adult children, and let me define that. When we're talking about adult children, we're talking about children that are no longer in your home. We're talking about children that are married and that are outside the home. I'm not talking about a 20-year-old that's living in the home. And I'm not saying that in a negative way. By the way, if your 20-year-old's not married, we want them living at home. Well, that's not what the world teaches. Yeah, and look at what the world has produced. Look, if you've got a 22-year-old and they're not married, we want them home. We want them in the home. We want them with their parents. And you say, oh, well, you know, that's not what the world teaches. Look, you know, I don't know what to tell you. I've thought about this. Some people have asked me, well, let's say my kid's an adult, and when is it okay for them to kind of transition out of the home? You know, if you want to ask me that question, the best answer I can come up with is 30 years old. As far as I can tell, Jesus, who never got married, stepped out of his parents' home and kind of began to do his own thing, started his ministry, and started doing his own thing when he was 30 years old. So look, we need to just get this brainwashing out of our heads that he's 18 and he's 19 and she's 19 and they can go live. No, you know what? They're kids. All right? So when we're talking about adult children, we're not talking about what the world classifies as an adult. We want our kids in our home. The Bible says that they should leave father and mother and cleave unto their wife. Not that they should leave their roommate. Not that they should leave their dorm mate. Not that they should leave, you know, wherever they were living. Look, God's plan, and I realize that not everybody has that, and sometimes you've got situations where you got a 20-year-old and their kid, you know, their parents have thrown them out of the house or whatever. I get that. But generally speaking, God's plan is that your kids live with you till the day they get married. All right? So when we're talking about an adult child, what we're talking about is a kid that's out of the house, that is married, that is doing their own life. And here's an improper balance in regards to that. Being too involved as a parent or grandparent in the life of your adult children. Being too involved as a parent or as a grandparent in the life of your children. Now, let me just say this. You say, I didn't know there was such a thing. Please get this, because in the culture we live in, there's actually a problem with what I just said, and I want to make sure you understand this. As a parent of an adult child, let's say you've got grandchildren, okay? You need to focus your relationship and time investment on your kids and on your grandkids. You should have a good relationship with your adult children and with your grandchildren. Are you there in Proverbs? Go to Proverbs 17. Look at verse 6. I'm not saying that, oh, okay, once my kids are out of the house and I never have anything to do. Look, you should be helping your kids raise their kids. That's what a good grandparent would do. Proverbs 17, verse 6, the Bible says this, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Look, you ought to invest. Listen, grandpa and grandma, please, focus your energy, your time, invest yourself into the lives of your adult children and of your grandchildren. Children's children are the crown of old men. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. If you kept your place there in Titus, just one book over, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. In Proverbs 17, we saw a verse in regards to dads, right? Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, we see a verse about grandmothers. 2 Timothy 1:5 says this, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. He says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned fame that is in thee, he says, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Please understand this. As a grandparent, as a parent of an adult child, you should be focusing your relationship and your energy into time, into spending time and relationship with your kids. You should not be focusing your relationship on financial help of your adult kids. You need to limit how much your adult children financially are dependent on you. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Because what is it that makes you an adult? Is it the fact that you're tall? Is it the fact that you're able to grow 3 whiskers on your chin? Is it the fact that your voice dropped an octave or whatever? What makes you an adult? Have you thought about that? Because there are some 19 and 20-year-old men that are actually men, and I could show you some 30-year-old boys that are just boys. What is it that makes you an adult? What is it that makes you autonomous? Is the ability to care for yourself. Isn't that our goal? Amen. Train up a child in the way he should go. Train up a child in the way he should go. Listen. Oh, 16-year-old and 17-year-old and 18-year-old. If your mom still has to tell you to put your dirty laundry in the hamper, you're not a man. You're not grown up. You understand what I'm telling you? What makes you a man is the ability to care for yourself. If your mom still has to wake you up for school, senior, there's a problem there. Do you understand that? You need to be growing up. You need to be growing in your maturity, in your ability to mature. And listen, mom and dad, you say, yeah, but if I don't step in financially, then my kids wouldn't be able to survive out there. Then they shouldn't be out there. Then they shouldn't get married. Then they shouldn't be starting homes and doing these things. Why? Because the whole point of being an adult is that you can care for yourself. So listen, parent of an adult child. Invest yourself relationally into your children and your grandchildren, but limit how much you help them financially. Because you're doing them a disservice. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, look at verse 7. The Bible says this, "For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought," notice what it says, "with labor and travail night and day, that we might," don't miss this, "not be chargeable to any of you." Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And please understand this. I'm not saying you can't help your kids out financially from time to time. But you need to limit how much they are financially dependent on you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look at verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, the Bible says this, "And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that we may walk honestly towards them that are without." Notice what he says. "And that ye may have lack of nothing." That's the goal. I try to pray through a certain prayer list that I have every week. My wife tries to pray through a prayer list that she has. One of my prayers every week for our children is that we would raise children that are productive and that are able to provide for themselves. That are productive, meaning not lazy, and that are able to provide for themselves. You say, why do you pray that? Because that's one of the characteristics of being a grown-up. Being able to provide for yourself. I've told this story before. I think it's one of the, I don't know if my dad was joking. I tell this story, and I might embarrass him. I don't know. I should ask him one of these days. But I don't know if he was joking or not, but it made an impact in my life. I remember when my wife and I got married, I was 18 years old. We got married 2 weeks after we graduated high school. And I am not necessarily advising that, okay? You know, just because we did it doesn't mean it was the right thing to do. But, you know, when we got married, I remember my dad took me in our garage there in our house, and we had this little conversation, and he sat there, and I sat in front of him, and he basically said to me, "Son, once you say those words, once you say I do, once that kiss is done, once you're married, it's done. You're not coming back here. The cord is cut. All right, you need to be able to provide for yourself and your wife. You need to know that you're not coming back here." You know, that was probably one of the best things that could have happened to me as an 18-year-old right before I got married. Because look, the whole point, and I remember when my wife and I got married, you know, we didn't have a couch for the first, I don't know, six months that we were married. We didn't have a dining room table for the first year that we were married. I remember when we first got married, we were just newlyweds, she would make dinner, and we would sit on the floor of our little apartment there, and we'd have dinner on the floor. And, you know, I remember we bought our first couch, it cost us about $1,000. First, the couch and the love seat and the little end tables or whatever. About $1,000. This was 15 years ago or 14 years ago. It took us a year to save up $1,000. I remember we took our little $1,000, which is a lot of money to us now. It was a huge amount back then. And we were looking at deals, and we're looking at furniture stores and going out of business and this and that. And we were traveling. We found our little, couch and other couch. And I remember we paid the $1,000, and it was kind of like, I don't really mind sitting on the floor, honey, And it was because it was a lot of money for us, And it was a big deal. You know that we had those couches just till last year? I mean, just last year we got rid of those couches. And there's just something about us sitting on the floor for a year. Saving money. I remember same thing with our dining room table. We saved up $300 to go buy a wooden dining room table. It was weird because when we got it home, my wife made dinner and I had this inclination to sit on the floor, because I'd been sitting on the floor for years, for a year now having dinner, and it was kind of weird, like, oh, we get to sit at this table. We just got rid of that table. We got rid of that table because we outgrew the table. We had kids or whatever. But here's what I'm telling you. You say, Pastor, are you telling the story to make us feel bad? No, I'm telling you, those were sweet memories for us. It was sweet for us to kind of struggle. And look, my parents were there, of course. My wife's parents were there. If we would have been in trouble, they would have helped us. But it was sweet to just kind of struggle, to just kind of save up and pay and do things. So listen. Parents of adult children, limit how much you financially help your children. You're doing them a disservice. And you say, well, what's the balance? Here's the balance. Let me give you the answer. Because I am not telling you not to help your kids financially. I'm not saying that at all. I think you should. Say, well, what's the balance? Here's the question you have to ask yourself. If I miraculously disappeared tomorrow, if I, my spouse, and all my assets disappeared tomorrow, would my kids be able to survive? And if the answer is no, would my adult kids be able to survive? And if the answer is no, you're helping too much. If your kids are living in your condo, and I don't know anybody like that, but you see what I'm saying? If you're just, you've got a certain amount of money you're giving them every month, you're not helping them. That's not adulthood. Adulthood is struggling. Adulthood is budgeting. Adulthood is saving. Adulthood is you buy that couch, you appreciate that couch. You keep that couch for 14 years. You love that couch. You get rid of that couch because the thing literally fell apart. And the point is this. You need to be careful about being too involved in the lives of your adult children. You say, are you talking about spending time? Spend all the time in the world. With your kids, with your grandkids, invest in them relationally. Teach them the Bible. Make sure that your children have an unfeigned faith that was first in their grandmother and in their mother, and now it's in you. But be careful. And limit how much financial help you give. And for those of you that are adults, be careful about how much financial help you take. Because whether you understand it or not, whenever someone is helping you financially, in some ways they kind of control you. So be careful with that. And when it comes to parenting, we need to just make sure we have proper balance. What's a balance? Make sure you're not the parent that's, oh, my kids are always right. No, they're not. But make sure you're not the parent that my kids are always wrong, because that's not true either. Make sure you're not the parent that's always sweeping in to defend your kids and protect your kids. Every once in a while, it's good to let them work things out, to let them fall on their face and fail. And make sure, when you have adult children someday, or for those of you that have adult children, that you balance your relationship. Invest yourself in time and energy, but limit the financial help, because the whole point of being an adult is to be able to pay your own way. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the Bible. And Lord, I pray that you would help us just as parents to just, sometimes we need to just stop and be reminded. What is it that I'm trying to accomplish here? I'm not just trying to have perfectly behaved children. Now, we want well-behaved children, but that's not our goal. We want adults that are responsible, that are balanced, that have desire to serve you and love you. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as parents to work towards that, to parent towards that goal. And Lord, I thank you for the families in our church. Lord, I know that the people that are here would not be here if they didn't love you and weren't interested in raising their kids for you. And Lord, I just pray that you'd give everyone in this room Lord, I pray you'd give help us all to have wisdom, to have discretion, discernment, to know what to do with what we've heard. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to apply it to our lives. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.